We broadcast our worship service every Sunday on 88.5 FM in order to reach out to those who aren't able to make it for whatever reason. Our gospel is from John chapter 20, verse 19 to 23. John 20, verse 19 to 23. When it was evening, on that day of the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise to you, O Christ. And let us pray. Loving God, I thank you for this beautiful day. I pray for a stirring up of your Holy Spirit so that all of us here might experience on a more deeper level your presence active in our life. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Word would take root into our lives so that our lives might bear an abundance of good fruit to the glory of your holy name. And I pray all these things through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Again, welcome to everybody here. Happy birthday to the church. What a great day it is to be here. What a great day it is to be alive. I was studying the text, and I came across a true story that took place back in Nottingham, England. Nottingham, England. There's a chapel there. It's a Wesleyan chapel. And it's in this chapel in Nottingham, England, that William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, had a powerful conversion to the Lord. He was at a worship service there, not unlike our worship service this morning here. He heard the beautiful singing. He heard the powerful preaching. He heard the Word of God proclaimed. And something stirred in his heart. And he dropped to his knees. And he said, "Lord, I give my life to you. Use me if you see fit." That was his humble prayer. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army Church. And in that Wesleyan chapel, to this day, in Nottingham, England, there's a plaque in the back of the church where he had this powerful encounter, this conversion or re-recognition or born-again experience or spiritual awakening, whatever you want to call it. There's a plaque in the back of the church that explains William Booth's conversion experience. And it's a pilgrim site today for all the leaders and the ministers of the Salvation Army Church. To this day, people flock to Nottingham, England to go into that chapel and to pray. Well, there's a story Harry Emerson Fosdick used to tell about an elderly black man who was dressed up in his full Salvation Army uniform. He was a minister, and he was standing by that plaque in the back of that chapel in Nottingham, England, when the chaplain of that chapel saw him and walked over and asked him if there's anything he can do to help him. And the Salvation Army minister, the tall, elderly African-American man, asked him if it would be okay if he said a prayer out loud right there. Well, the chaplain said, "Sure, by all means, go ahead and pray." Well, the elderly Salvation Army minister dropped down to his knees, and before that little tablet, he lifted up both hands, and he prayed, "Do it again, Lord. Do it again." That was his prayer. And that is a beautiful, I think, illustration of my prayer this morning for all of us here on Pentecost Sunday. Father, do it again. Give us a great outpouring of your Spirit, a new Pentecost, Lord, right here today. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. I love the celebration of Pentecost. In order to better understand, I believe, the celebration of Pentecost, we really have to get an understanding of Passover, because the time clock ticking to Pentecost started on the feast of Passover. Pentecost was an established Jewish tradition that the disciples and the apostles in that upper room, when they experienced the Holy Spirit, they were there celebrating something else when God blindsided them with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I think it is fascinating. Pentecost means 50th. That Greek word Pentecost, it means 50th. It's the 50th day after Passover. They celebrated Pentecost. Pentecost was a celebration in the Jewish calendar celebrating. It's called the Festival of Weeks. And it was 7 weeks, the day after Passover, plus 7 weeks, 50th day. It was a harvest festival, the first fruits of the wheat harvest. The first fruits of the wheat harvest were gathered and given to the priest to sacrifice to God in anticipation of the abundant harvest that would be to come, that hasn't yet come, but it would be to come. They're anticipating a great harvest. And so this is part of the Pentecost celebration that was already established. The other part was that of the giving of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai 50 days after the original Passover. 50 days after Passover, remember Passover. Let me just remind you of Passover. The original Passover, Exodus chapter 12. Moses, okay, first he saw the burning bush in the wilderness, and God told Moses to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And he said, well, they're not going to believe me. Who am I going to tell sent me? I am who am. So Moses goes back. Long story short, he tells Pharaoh to let my people go. He tells the Israelite people, tonight's going to be the night. Get a lamb, sacrifice the lamb. Every family did this. Take the blood of the lamb and smear it on the doorpost of your house, and the angel of death will pass over your home, sparing your firstborn child, and then you'll go through the waters of the Red Sea into freedom. And so Moses instructed the people, and they did that. I like to use my holy imagination when I read the Old Testament and when I read the New Testament. So imagine with me for a second, if that little lamb that the father of the Hebrew, all the fathers were taking that little lamb. Imagine if that little lamb could talk. Why are you sacrificing me, Hebrew father? Well, I have to, because Moses told us to. Well, I didn't do anything. I'm just innocent. I know you're innocent. And he grabs a knife from the barn, and the lamb is crying out for his life. And the Hebrew man says, I am guilty of sin, little lamb. I must put my sin upon you, and your innocence will be imputed on me. And that's why I must sacrifice you, because I need your guiltless, innocent blood to set my family free, little lamb. And that's what the first Passover was all about. So the Hebrew people went through the parted Red Sea, and they got into freedom not because they did anything, not because they sang real nice, not because they prayed real nice, but because each one of them had been covered by the Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb. They were covered by the blood of the Lamb. And Jesus comes on the scene, and John the Baptist points to Christ and says, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. My friends, before there was a Pentecost, there had to be a Passover. Before there was a shepherd, there had to be a lamb. Before there's freedom, there's got to be sacrifice. Every one of us has been invited to this freedom through the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. Now remember what Jesus said when he came on the scene. He said, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Pentecost is the first fruit of the wheat harvest. Before there's a harvest, there has to be sowing of the seeds. Before there's total freedom, there has to be sacrifice. We don't hear much about sacrifice in this generation today. When I was brought up, my mom and dad kept telling me, you got to sacrifice in order to get what you want. And I'm like, Mom, I want a camera. I vividly remember telling her, I want a camera, Mom. I was 15 years old. She got out the newspaper and showed me the classified ads. She goes, you can get a job there. You can get a job. I said, wait a minute. Why don't you just give me the money? Mike, if you want something, you got to work for it. Before you get, you got to give. The sacrifice, before the sacrifice, we have to serve. In order to serve, we're free when we're served. So Pentecost Sunday is a beautiful outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's a type of what was going on in the Old Testament. It is so beautiful. And it all started when the disciples and the apostles were in the upper room and they were praying. They devoted themselves to prayer. Remember what Jesus said? He said, wait, in Acts chapter 1, he said to wait. Acts chapter 2, he sends them forth. Acts chapter 1, they're equipped. Acts chapter 2, they're empowered. Acts chapter 1, they're anticipating the church being born. Acts chapter 2, the church is birthed, it's born, and set forth and set free. And it all started with prayer, my friends. Prayer, prayer. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. That's my prayer for all of us. Send forth your Holy Spirit, Lord, and renew the face of the earth. Send forth your Holy Spirit, Lord, and renew our congregation. Send forth your Holy Spirit, loving God. That actually happens to be Psalm 104, which is our psalm for the day. Send forth your Spirit, Lord, and renew the face of Alaska. Renew our nation, Lord. Send forth your Spirit and renew our world. While it is true that churches that are together in one accord can accomplish a lot, I'm here to suggest that churches, really, we are powerless unless we pray. We're people of prayer, people of expectant prayer, anticipating the great outpouring of God's Spirit in your life and in my life. I think we have lost the desire to dedicate ourselves to prayer, expecting the Holy Spirit to move in our presence in such a way that God will change lives. The Holy Spirit is all about changing hearts, changing lives. Just ask William Booth. He experienced that, the leader of the Salvation Army. There's many, many, many people I could pull up from history. Leo Tolstoy, remember? He wrote that great War and Peace. He's a great writer. He was an atheist for a long time. He finally came to Christ. He had 13 children. He was in Russia, and he was wondering about the meaning of life. And he finally, his whole life, his quest, there was an emptiness, because every one of us is created with eternity in our heart. And to the extent we try to fill it with everything other than God, we're going to be empty. And so Leo Tolstoy, a great story. He saw the peasants, and they seemed so happy. He went out and asked them, what is your source of happiness? And they shared with him the simple gospel message of Jesus Christ. And he dropped to his knees and he gave his life to Christ. Leo Tolstoy, read his autobiography. Powerful, powerful. The Christian world is filled with people, me being one of them, who have had all kinds of head knowledge about God. Born and raised Catholic, I had all the answers, the right answers. But my heart was far from God. Now, prayer is essential. There's a beautiful poem I came across I'd like to share with you on the power of prayer, because the early church started, they devoted themselves to prayer, and then they were filled with the Spirit. Okay, here's the poem. I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't take time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me, and heavier became each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wondered. He answered, you didn't ask. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on, gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He said, because you didn't seek. I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and vividly chided me, child, you did not knock. I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I just had to take time to pray. My friends, the celebration of Pentecost, this great birthday of the church, happens when you and I devote ourselves to prayer. Just taking a moment in the morning, a little time with Scripture, allowing the Holy Word of God to take root into our life, to revive our hearts, to revive our lives. Because I'm under the impression, I believe the Bible says that we've all been baptized with the Holy Spirit. I believe that. If you believe that Jesus Christ died, rose from the dead, you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says. You have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. When you receive, it's all about receiving. Don't forget our gospel today. Jesus rose from the dead. This is in that 40-day period that he was alive and he shared with the disciples and he rose from the dead and he said, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. He gave them peace. He showed them his hands and his sides. He said, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So you and I, just imagine, you've been baptized with the gift of the Holy Spirit. I've been baptized because I'm assuming you believe. You're here because you believe that Jesus Christ is alive and he loves you. And I pray, Lord, do it again. Do it again, Lord, in our hearts, in the hearts of every person here. Touch our hearts. Stir in our heart the fire of your divine love. That's my beautiful prayer for each and every one of us. So prayer is essential. Prayer is essential to guide our lives. Prayer is essential for our congregation, to guide our congregation. I came across a beautiful prayer. It's a request for a prayer that I'd like to share with you. And it was given by the President of the United States. I'll let you guess which President of the United States said this about our nation. We have been the recipients of the great blessings of heaven. We have been preserved in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to God that made us. We should be moved then to humble ourselves before the God, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. The President of the United States said that on April 30th, 1863. The 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, said these words, proclaiming a national day of fast and prayer and humility, asking for God's blessings and presence in our life. My friends, today's gospel, Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit on the disciples, and he said, forgive. He sent them out to forgive. And the disciples went out with that message, and that's why we're here today, because we've been forgiven. We have been forgiven. Another name, another definition of forgiveness is release, release, release. And it has to do with debt. Release people from the debt. That's what Christ said. Forgive people. They're forgiven. They're released from the debt. If they believe in the gospel, then tell them they're released. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth, on earth has been given to me. And he sent the disciples out, go out and to proclaim the whole world. Release, release. You're free. I just want to say that with all the authority that God has given me, you have the same authority. Be free. Be free. Be released from, we owed a debt we couldn't pay. Christ paid a debt he didn't owe. God took our guilt and put it on that little lamb. Do it again, Lord. Give us freedom so that we can follow you faithfully all the days of our life. I pray. Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? what God's going to do in the heart of a child that's here today, or in your heart today, if you simply surrender your life to Christ. That's the message. That's the message, my friends. And that's my experience with Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost, I know you have your personal Pentecost. I had my personal Pentecost, and it was when I was in Sitka, and I shared with my grandfather died. In 1986, it was June 15th, which was Father's Day back in 1986. Next Sunday's June 15th, Father's Day this year. And I was just so lost, and I was so far from home, and I found out my grandfather died within a half hour of his death. Talked to my mom on the phone, and she was so gracious and loving, only as a mother could be, and I felt so guilty and so full of shame. I'd go to church every Sunday, but I'd live whatever life I wanted. You know the story. Well, after I started going to this little prayer group in the basement of St. Gregory's Catholic Church in Sitka, Alaska, they started talking about Jesus as if he was alive or something. I was like, really? I never heard that story. And they love the Bible, and they love the Word, and they just were so gracious and kind to me. I'll never forget, I went to the church, and I had the bulletin, and there was a bulletin ad in there. Sister Mary Lou from Iowa is going to be coming to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. And I thought, well, that ought to be interesting. I had no idea what the gifts of the Spirit were about. Well, I went, seeing she's from Iowa, Sister Mary Lou, I figured she was relatively conservative. So I went, and I went, it wasn't that many people there, about 15 of us, and we were sitting down there. Brenda Bean was right next to me. This good nun started talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit being available to all of us. And then she started talking about the gift of tongues. And I'm like, what on earth are you talking about? I literally looked for the door. Brenda Bean grabbed my arm. She said, it'll be okay, son. And I was like, what are they doing? What's going on? I just never understood any of that. I didn't know what she thought. So they kind of walked me through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It'll be okay. It'll be okay. So they finally got to the place. I kept coming back every Thursday night. I just liked that prayer group. They were young, and they were just on fire for the Lord. Anyway, Charles Horan, Chris and Charles, they're still over there in Sitka. Charles led this prayer group, and he said, Mike, we'd like to pray over you. I said, okay, I guess I need all the prayers I can get. We're going to pray over you that you receive the gift of tongues. I was like, now, wait a minute. I am not going to make this stuff up. I have no idea. And so they're like, well, it's okay. It's one of the nine gifts of the Spirit. Where's my little, there it is. It's right near the bottom. He even actually had a list. It's one of the least of the gifts. I said, all right, but I ain't making it up. And they prayed over me, and I kind of like a proud, I said, I didn't get it. Nanner, nanner, nanner. I don't see anything here. Charles Horan told me, he goes, Mike, you pray every day. There's that word prayer again. You pray every day for 10 days and ask God for the gift of the Spirit, the gift of tongues. I said, well, all right, but I'm going to tell God. He's got to make it clear. I ain't making this up. And so halfway through the week, every day I'm going to the church, empty church, St. Gregory's. I'm like, all right, Lord, you got to make it clear to me because I have no idea what they're talking about. But if you want to have, you want to, whatever, you have your own way, Lord, like that song, have your own way, Lord. And, well, nothing. So every day. And then unbeknownst to me, some of my old friends that I worked with in Glacier Bay, my old life, it was Brian and Mary. Brian still works up at Alaska Airlines. I see him all the time. It's great. Brian Raisin and Mary Jennings, and they came to visit me. Well, they didn't know about my grandfather's death. They didn't know about me going to these prayer meetings. They didn't know about me getting all excited about my faith and quitting all of that stuff, you know, drinking. I used to smoke cigarettes. Can you believe that? Yeah, didn't like it. And so Jim and Mary, they were like, hey, Mike, we're here. Let's go to Ernie's or the Pioneer. And I'm like, well, you know what? Let's go to a coffee shop. You know, that was before coffee was anyway, I had to tell them I'm not the same guy I used to be. I didn't know exactly how to say that. And they're like, what? Oh, all right, here. Three beers. And they're, you know, no, I don't, you can have, I don't do that. I just don't do that. And they said, well, let's go to Juneau. They wanted me to go to Juneau. The ferry leaves tomorrow. And I just finished my summer job, and I said, listen, I'll go to Juneau with you if you promise to go to church with me. That was the deal. And they said, all right, we'll go to church with you. And they reluctantly agreed to go to church. And we went to St. Paul's Church in the Valley, St. Paul's Catholic Church. And I thought the church service started at 9 a.m. It started at 8 a.m. So we're an hour late. So the church service in the Catholic Church after communion, there's kind of a quiet little time. So I'm in the back pew. And now I've been praying quietly for this whole gift of stuff and tongues and all that. Well, I forgot all about that. So I'm getting Mary and Brian, and I get them to this church, and I kneel, and I realize that we're late. Everybody was kneeling in a prayer. It was quiet. And I looked over the top of everybody, and right in the front was Bishop Mike Kenney. Bishop Mike Kenney, a great, great bishop who died just before my ordination. Bishop Mike Kenney. He looked over the top of everybody, and he smiled at me. And it was like he said, Mike. And I knew he knew me. And I was, because I met him before, but he was just an extraordinary man. He smiled, and I just felt the rush of the Holy Spirit. And from within me, like living water, John chapter 9. John chapter 9 is our alternative gospel for today. It's John chapter 7, sorry. When it come to me, all you who thirst, and I will be like living water flowing forth. I started speaking in tongues, and I literally had to have my hand over my mouth. I said, I know what that is. I was like, yes. It was like I had this power that I never dreamed possible. It was like life coming out from within me. And I was like, let's go. And Mary and Brian were like, what are you talking about? We just got here. Let's go. I know what I got, what I needed. And they're like, you are out of your mind. I said, well, kind of, but I've got courage now. And for me, more than the gift of tongue, I was given the gift of faith, a deep-seated faith. My soul has been anchored in Christ, never again to doubt, never again. I no longer have to make up excuse why I don't want to drink or smoke cigarettes or do any of that other stuff. The old Mike has gone. The new man has begun. I've been born again in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit in the church, in the liturgy, in the church. There is power in the spoken word. There is power in the music. Everything we do, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And God wants to touch your heart with that same spirit that touched the early church, that gave them grace and mercy to breathe that word of forgiveness. You're released. You're forgiven. I don't know then the guilt and the shame of the past, it's forgiven and forgotten. Receive it. Receive the blood of the Lamb. We're set free, not because of anything we've done, but we've celebrated Passover, and Christ is alive, and he rose from the dead. Pentecost is all about new life. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. That's my prayer. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you so much for releasing us from the debt by the blood of the Lamb. We thank you, Lord, for you have paid a debt you did not owe, because we owed a debt we could never pay. And you have set us free to be your children, to boldly proclaim what you've done for us. Freedom, liberty, forgiveness, all because of the gift of Christ. And I ask that you would multiply that gift in our life, in our hearts. Bless our children. Bless our children's children. Bless our parents. Bless everyone that has ever walked through the door of Petersburg Lutheran Church in the last 100 years. And Lord, I pray that you would do it again with your Spirit. And I ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen.